A few weeks later, I had another pastor call me, and I've seen God open doors when it's time, His timing. You know, I wanted it to happen right away, but I knew I had to wait on His timing. So I'm glad to be here. Like you said, I'm from around the Greensboro area. I live in Greensboro. My dad is the pastor of Denton. Have a wonderful girlfriend who I've been with for 8 months now. Thank God. Thank God she's put up with me, you know. But it's been 8 wonderful months with her, and I just thank God for her every day. But tonight I want to talk to you about a man who saw the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I would ask that you would turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6. And if you'll stand for the reading of God's Word. Tonight I want to talk to you about this thought. Here am I, send me. Isaiah chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high, saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Yeah. Then I said, "Here am I, send me." Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you once again. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that I have to speak your word. God, I'm asking and depending upon your anointing tonight. God, I cannot do this without your anointing. God, that I would say no more and no less of what you have given me. Anoint our ears to hear what your spirit is saying. Anoint our hearts to receive what you have in store for us. And God, we'll be careful to give you the glory and the praise and the honor that's due unto you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. The vision that Isaiah saw when he was, as it is said of Samuel, established to be a prophet of the Lord was intended to, number one, it was to confirm his faith in his God, that he might himself be abundantly satisfied of the truth of those things which should be afterward be made known to him. And number two, it was to work upon his affections, that he might be possessed with such a reverence of God, which as would quicken him and fix him to his service for the Lord. But also in this passage, Israel's king had died. But I'm here to tell you tonight that God is still alive. He's still well, never has died, never will die. I'm here to know that my God is still alive today. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and for me. What the prophet here saw is revealed to us, that mixing faith with that revelation, that as in a glass, that we may behold the glory of God itself. So tonight I want to look at a few things with great humble and great reverence. Number one, we see God upon his throne, and that throne is high and lifted up. In verses 1 and 2, it says, in verse 1, that he saw the Lord sitting on a throne. This isn't just any throne, though. Right. It is a throne that transcends other thrones. Right. It is the throne that it rules and commands those thrones. There is no throne like this. The throne of God cannot be overthrown. The throne of God cannot be sat on but by God the Father himself. Isaiah saw not Jehovah, the essence of God, which no man has seen, but he has seen Adonai, his dominion. Yes. He sits upon a throne of glory before which we must worship. He sits upon a throne of government under which we must be subject. And he sits upon a throne of grace to which we may come boldly. Yes. His throne is above every throne on the earth. There is none like the Lord. Many have said that there are other ways to get to heaven, but I disagree. Buddha can't get you to heaven. Muhammad can't get you to heaven. Astrology won't save you. Your horoscope won't save you. The Bible calls all these things are farce. But I'm here to tell you there's only one way to heaven and one way to God. His name is Jesus Christ. He proclaimed it in John chapter 14, verse 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by me. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. Amen. And he said, Isaiah saw his train filled the whole temple. Yeah. It didn't just fill the table of shewbread. It didn't just fill where the oil was flowing. It didn't just fill the Holy of Holies, but it filled the whole temple. And I'm here to tell you that the church today is filled with His glory, with His train in our places of worship. It's not faltered. It never has faltered, never will. I've seen many things in my life as a Christian while in church that has proven to me that His train has filled the temple. I've seen people filled with the Holy Ghost. I've seen people dancing in the Spirit. I've seen tongues and interpretation. I've seen miraculous healings during altar services, but yet people still doubt His power. But there are blessings of God, and some think that it's the workings of the devil. But I'm here to tell you, as living proof, as a child of God, as a saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, child of God, those things are not fake. But it is, once we are in the Spirit of God working in His presence will be known to men.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
I'm also here to tell you, as a Pentecostal, that those who may doubt us as Christians, that have never read Acts chapter 2 and on, seeing that the 120 believers were filled with the Holy Ghost is still being seen today. I've worked many youth camps since 2016, and I've seen teenagers getting filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm still seeing Joel chapter 2 being fulfilled. I'm still seeing Acts chapter 2 being fulfilled. The seraphim, which started praising God, they had six wings. As we see here, they covered their face with four of those wings. Lord help us. They covered themselves, which represented their humility and their reverence when they enter into the presence of God Almighty. Yeah. I believe, however, that there have been those who have lost that deep respect or reverence for God. I can remember a time when we could openly talk about God anywhere we were. But nowadays you can't even mention God without someone getting offended or getting defensive with you, saying, well, that's not true. Why are you being so judgmental? But I thank God that I had godly examples that taught me how to revere God, how to respect God's house. And I thank God that now I am able to say that I have become with more reverence and that all things that pertain to Him. You know, when I was a kid, you know, if mom and dad saw me running in the sanctuary, you bet your bottom dollar when I got home, I got a spanking. If I did something that wasn't right in the sight of God, I had to get disciplined. But through that discipline, I had to learn that reverence of God. So we see, number one, that God is on His throne and it's high and lifted up. And number two, we see the song of the seraphims in verses 3 and 4. We see, and one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. This song was not sung lackadaisically. It wasn't sung lazily. It was sung with zeal. It was sung with fervency as they cried aloud. And with unanimity, they cried to another or one with another. They sang alternately. They sang in concert and without the least jarring voice to interrupt the harmony. I believe it's time for the church to start singing a song in harmony once again. The church has become so divided. But if we return to God once again and ask Him, I believe we can come back to a spirit of unity for and love for one another and moving forward, marching on to victory. In verse 3, it says, the whole earth is full of His glory. God did not create the earth in Genesis 1 and 2 for Adam's glory. He didn't create the world for Eve's glory. He didn't create this world for man's glory. He created this world for His glory and His glory alone. I've seen His glory moving in and around this world. I don't know about you, but I've seen it more now than ever. There are people that say His glory is dead. He says it's no longer alive, but I'm here to tell you that His glory is alive today and it will be until forevermore. So we see the song of the seraphims. But now let's look at number 3, Isaiah's self-examination. He sees that woe is me. I'm a man. I'm an unclean man. He's sitting there like the leper. Unclean. Unclean. Many times in the Bible when God or angels have shown themselves to man, man's initial reaction is fear. But in Isaiah's case, he examined himself and said, woe is me. We have a reason to lament that not only that we ourselves are polluted as humans, but that the nature and race of mankind are so. This disease is hereditary and epidemic, but this doesn't mean that we have to hide ourselves though. We've got to examine our hearts because we can come boldly before God. In Hebrews 4:16 it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. There have been times in my life that I've needed God's help. And I've had to get on my knees. And yes, sometimes I cried because I needed His grace to get me through what I was going through. One of the seraphims who hears Isaiah's cry. He hears Isaiah's cry and knows exactly what to do. He doesn't have to go to God the Father. He knows exactly what he's got to do. He goes and gets a live coal from the altar of God. Goes to Isaiah and puts it to his lips. He cleansed his unrighteousness from him with that coal. I believe it is time that we get back to what we call this is sanctification. Yes. It's time to get back to where sanctification is the act of making holy or being set apart. Right. And it's a twofold process, I believe. Number one, it happens when you're saved at an altar. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're set apart from the world. You are to be of the world, be in the world, not of the world. Excuse me. And then secondly, we're set apart daily to do what God has called us to do. Yes. It changes how we act. Yes. It changes how we speak. It changes our attitudes. It changes how we treat our brothers and sisters. And it makes us love our enemies. I don't know about you, but there have been those people in my life. I don't know how I've got along with them, but by the grace of God, I was able to love them with a love I had never experienced before, because once I experienced God's love and knew what he meant by love, then that gave me the love to give them.
Yes, amen. Yes.
And so finally we have Isaiah's commission from the Lord. Yes. He hears a voice from heaven. He hears a question from the Lord God Almighty. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? I don't know about you, but when I hear that question, Isaiah here had two choices to make. He could either accept the call to go and be blessed because he was on his faith, or he can reject that call and regret it for the rest of his life. I've seen many young men and young women who have heard the call of God and they've refused it because it was too hard.
Come on.
oh, I can't do this. I'm not able to do this. God, are you really calling me to this ministry? God, are you really calling me to do this? But God never promised that the road would be easy. There was an old song by the Crabb family. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without our fighting. He said help would always come in time. Just remember, when you're in the valley of decisions and the adversary is telling you to give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and He'll take you through the fire again. There have been times in my ministry, the devil thought he was going to destroy me. The devil thought he was going to talk behind my back. He thought he was going to take me down. But at that point, God said, hold on, devil. That's one of mine. I've called him. I'm protecting him. I've got my angels encamped around him. There is nothing you can do to destroy him in my presence and in my calling. At the age of 16, to give you a little background of my calling, I was 16 years old, sitting in my grandparents' trailer, and the repairman was fixing the air conditioning at their home because it had broken down. And we were all getting ready to leave. We had done what we needed to do, and we started praying. The moment after we started praying, I heard God say, I have called you to be a preacher like Jeremiah. It may fall on deaf ears, but preach the word. And instantly I knew at that moment, I accepted the call of God. Yes. Since then, I've seen God bless me and my life. I've had godly co-workers and friends come into my life. God has blessed my ministry. God has blessed me with a godly girlfriend who I loved so dearly. And I couldn't have done it without His grace and His mercy giving me the strength to do it every day. There have been times when I said, God, is this what You've really called me to do? But He has reassured me time and time again through His word. I have called you to be a prophet to the nations. But also, I want to look at something else. When God says, whom shall I send and who will go for us? When the angels, the seraphim said, holy, holy, holy. I believe that is a testament to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I need all three working in my life. I need God the Father, who is my Father, who I can go to in times of need. I need Jesus, who can intercede for me at times when I've called on Him. And I need the power of the Holy Spirit to do what God has called me to do, Pastor. Yes, there have been times that I've gotten behind a pulpit and said, God, I can't do this without You. But then His Spirit comes and rests upon me. And it's sometimes it's not easy, but He gives me the strength to do what I need to do behind a pulpit. And so I'm here to tell you, you can't deny the fact that when God said, who will go for us? Yes, in the Old Testament, Jesus had not come around the store on the scene of earth, but He was on the scene. He had come in as an incarnate angel of the Lord. There had been times when the angel of the Lord had come. He gave strength. He had fought with Jacob. He said, but I'm changing your name to Israel. You are a great nation. You're the apple of God's eye. The angel of the Lord showed Himself to Moses in the burning bush when He said, go to Pharaoh and set my people go. The angel of the Lord showed Himself to Israel many, many times. And the angel of the Lord is still showing Himself today. I'm so thankful that in my life I've had godly examples of men of God as pastors, mentors. Back in 2019 actually. Yes, I knew I had been called to preach. I preached my first message in 2017. But in the Church of God, we have a process. Before you can get your exhorters and your ordained minister's license, you have to go through CAMS, which is a three-month, three-seminar process. through that, it showed you who you are as a minister. It showed you who, what exact, it didn't exactly show you what your calling was, but it knew that it showed you that you were called of God, and it proved to me. I went through that, got my exhorters, went through MIP. That's where you go under a pastor and you intern for 9 months. Went through that process as an intern. I saw a side of ministry I'd never seen before. Being a pastor's kid, you thought you had seen it all. I'd seen my dad go through things I thought I'd never see as a kid. And as a kid, you should never see some of the things you see as a pastor's kid. But I'm here to tell you that since Dad had went through those things, when he got a call to pastor again, he said, "I'll go. I'll go," because that was what he was called to do. And since Dad has been pastoring at the Denton Church of God for the last 2 years, I've seen God bless him. I've seen God bless that church. I've seen God bless churches all around. I've seen him bless our family. But it's because we have followed the call of God on our lives that God has blessed us. It's not that we've turned away, but it's sometimes, yes, it's been hard. Yes, there have been times we've doubted ourselves. But through the strength and the power of the Holy Ghost, we've gotten up and said, God has called us to do this. There is no way we can waver. There's no way we can turn back now. We've come too far to turn back now. The devil has tried to do everything he could to turn us around. There were times when Dad had to step down from pastoring at one point. Financially, we thought we weren't going to make it. But Dad fasted. Dad prayed. Sure enough, it seemed that the money went a little further. It seemed like our health got better. It seemed like our family got along better. And through those disciplines of learning from Him and fasting and praying and seeking God's face, I've learned what it means to walk in my calling as well. Amen. I can't do this without God. I couldn't stand behind this pulpit without God. The nerves are still there. You may not see it. I get a little nervous, but with God, all things are possible. Right. He said, and I know since He's called me, He has helped me tremendously in my calling, growing me. And I'm not there yet. I've not arrived. I will not arrive to my completion until I hear the trump of God that shall sound, and He shall descend on the clouds. And the dead in Christ shall arise first, and those which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them to meet Him in the air, and so shall we be with Him forevermore. I've not arrived to my final destination. My final destination is not this earth. My final destination is not this earth, folks. Our destination is heaven, I hope. And I'm praying that I can take as many with me as I can. Over the weekend, me and my girlfriend and her mom were watching, I don't know if any of you have seen Left Behind, which was the early 90s, and it was with Kirk Cameron, and it talks about what's going to happen and the events leading up to the tribulation. Folks, I don't know about you, but with me as a minister of the gospel, but first as a Christian and disciple of Jesus Christ, I can't imagine that hell on earth for anybody. I can't imagine what it's going to be like to experience the tribulation for those 7 years. The pestilence, the wars, the deaths, the martyrdom. I want to be on the first row when Jesus comes back. I don't want to have to be given a second chance. I want to be there at the marriage supper of the Lamb, which He spoke about and said, "I will not take of this Passover until I receive you unto myself." And as a minister, I have made it my mission. I also work at Chick-fil-A. I said, God has put me there for this season, and I've made it my mission that it would be my mission field until God calls me to either be a lead pastor or somewhere else. At another place. And I made it my mission field. And I said, God, whatever you want to do at this Chick-fil-A, have your way. I pushed myself out the way. I said, God, yes, you gave me this job. Yes, I have the ability to do this job. But God, give me the strength to share your gospel with every person I come in contact with at that store. Because I want to take as many behind me to hear God say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Amen. And I want to hear that. And I want to see the lives. I don't know the many that I've touched already. But I know that when I get to heaven, I'll see those who I would have never thought. But because they came into, because I showed the love of Christ, I'll see, wow. Yeah. Oh my goodness. I've touched so many lives. I heard it best said like this by a youth director one time. He said, if I were to win one, I want you to win 10. If I were to win 10, I want you to win 100. If I were to win 100, I want you to win 1,000. If I were to win 1,000, I want you to win 10,000. That was Mike White, who was our youth director for over 8 years. That it was a profound statement that I had never thought of until I experienced the power of God in my life. A little bit more background of my story and of my calling. I was at Lee University for a year back in 2016 when I graduated. Went to Lee University, was part of the symphonic band. They went and traveled to churches around the United States and around the and we went around the world that year. We were getting ready to go on spring tour. And at that point, I had not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost yet, but I had been seeking it because I knew I needed it in order to obtain my license in the Church of God. About 2 weeks before we went on spring tour, I had a dream that I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I woke up, I asked my roommate, I said, hey, was I doing something in my sleep last night? He said, no, not that I heard of. But I said, okay, God. If it's according to your will, it's going to happen. Amen. I prayed and thought about it for those next 2 weeks. I couldn't get it off my mind. I hadn't told Dad yet that dream had happened. We had went on tour. Friday night, the service was going, nothing happened. Saturday night, nothing happened. Sunday night, I kept seeking God, nothing happened. But Monday night, I can give you the date. And it was in March of 2017 on a Monday night. March the 6th of 2017, Spirit was moving. Spirit hit me and I got filled with the Holy Ghost. We came to Sunset Avenue Church of God that Wednesday night. I had not told Mom and Dad yet because I knew I was getting ready to see them. I was going to be able to talk with them one-on-one. After the service, I beelined it to Dad. I didn't want to talk to anybody else. I didn't want to talk to the pastor of that church. I didn't even want to talk to our director or any of my friends. I beelined it to Dad because he was sitting in the audience that evening. I said, Dad, you'll never believe what happened to me on Monday night. I said, I have finally got something I sought for over 3 years. 3 years I sought after the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I told Dad, I said, Dad, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Me and Dad hugged. We started crying. It wasn't tears of sorrow, but it was tears of joy. Because we knew what God had done in my life after what I had sought for so long. Yes. Mom and Hannah started crying because they had knew what had happened. And since then, I've seen many teenagers filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I've seen it happen, and I'm still seeing it today. And I'm here to tell you, it don't matter how young you are. It don't matter how old you are. Keep walking in the calling of God that He has placed on your life. So in closing, a few musicians will come and play softly. I believe God is calling the church back to do what He's called them to do like He did Isaiah. When He said, who will go for us? He's also commissioned us with a great task. Jesus said in Matthew 28, and I love this passage. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." God is calling us to go for Him. It's not for any man. It's not for any man on this earth. But it's for Him and Him alone. Are we going to respond and say, "Send me, here I am"? Or are we going to turn away saying, "No, Lord, it's too hard. I can't do it"? It's time to fulfill the call of God on our lives and do the work He's called us to do as the church in the Spirit and the power of Pentecost. We can't do it, like the pastor said. We can't do it without the Spirit. We cannot fulfill the call of God on the churches, on the church, without the power of the Holy Spirit. The disciples couldn't do it. Paul couldn't do it. And us ministers of the gospel and those of us in this congregation can't do it without the power of the Holy Ghost. So if you're here tonight, and Pastor Phil, allow me, I feel it's time that God is calling the church to be like Isaiah and say, "Here am I, send me." If everyone will come to this altar, I believe God is calling this church to go for Him. And it starts with the pastor. there's anyone here, and I can't do that. I'm not doing this because it's not on my timetable, but I feel God leading me to do this. But if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Pastor, if you will, me and the pastor will come and pray with you. It's a power like you've never experienced before, but it's life-changing. And it's something we need today. Because, folks, the world is getting evil. And we need the power to stand up and say, no longer are you going to, devil, are you going to win? We've got the victory. And if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the pastor and I, if you'll come to the center, and the pastor and I will pray with you for this gift of God. It is a gift of God as well.
God filled me with the Holy Ghost about 25. That's about 35 years ago. Amen. Praise God. I enjoyed that, Ryan. Spoke to my heart. Are you available for the Lord tonight? Are you ready for God to take you to a higher place in Him? Amen. I want you to stretch your hands toward this young man tonight. And I want to pray for him as he's prayed for me. Father, Lord, thank you, God, for Brother Ryan tonight, Lord. And Lord, I know, God, that without you, none of us can do anything. But God, you said all things are possible to them that believe. And Father, I thank you, God, for his heart. I thank you, God, for his humility. I thank you, Father God, for his hunger. God, I thank you, God, for his study. I could tell, God, he studied, he prepared himself before he came here tonight. And Father, I pray, God, that every door that you won't open in front of him, that God, that you'll open. And Lord, lead him, God, as he has said even in the message tonight. God, as a Jeremiah anointed upon him to speak to the nations, Father. Lord, let him use media. Let him use airways. Let him use social media. Whatever comes his way to make the contacts that he needs to make. Just preach this gospel in places that he would only dream that he will be able to preach. And Father, I thank you, God, as the anointing of God has been here tonight, God. Use him, God, and take him, oh God, in places, Lord, that only you can take him. And Father, we thank you, God, for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a praise in the house tonight? Thank you, Brother Ryan. Amen.